In the Rocky Mountain states, new oil and gas development just outside national park boundaries is raising concerns. The Bush administration is encouraging drilling in more than 50 new sites that are near national parks or are considered wilderness. NPR's Elizabeth Arnold reports on the reaction in Utah.
Moab, Utah is a mountain bike mecca. Pickups, VW vans, campers, and Jeeps loaded down with the latest in fat tire machinery cruise Moab's one main street in search of last-minute ice, chain lube, and sunblock. Red Rock Canyons hem this dusty town along the Colorado River, bordered by Arches and Canyonlands National Parks. It's an off-road adventure in every direction. There are more bike shops here than stoplights. Ron George works on a derailleur at Poison Spider Bikes. He came here to ride in 1985 at the start of the boom.
Been on the Slick Rock Trail, which is the trail that made us famous. And I've read an estimate that that year they think about 140 people rode it by bicycle. Last year it was more like 140,000.
In the parking lot outside, a group of women are getting to know each other before their week-long ride on the popular White Rim Trail. But these bikers aren't the only ones interested in exploring the Entrada and Navajo sandstone of the nearby canyons. Outfitter Chuck Nichols has been running these trips for 15 years, and he says there's another boom underway that could hurt his business.
I came off of a trip on Sunday afternoon, and I'm looking out on the horizon, and there's a brand new oil rig drilling just north of the park within sight, and this is something that I don't think anybody in this county even heard about.
It's a direct result of the Bush administration's energy policy. The Bureau of Land Management has fast-tracked leases and permits to drill here. Bikers and hikers are surprised to see seismic crews, new drill pads, and wells cropping up on public land just outside park borders. Outfitter Judy Nichols shakes her head.
So we spend our life educating people how to treat the desert, that they can't take their 30-pound bike and put it on the cryptobiotic soil. They can't walk on the soil. And then they see these huge machines driving all over the place.
The Nichols and others see this new development as clashing with Moab's economic base, tourism. But it was uranium that once drove Moab's economy, and oil and gas exploration has occurred sporadically here for decades. County Commissioner Jerry McNeely doesn't see what all the fuss is about.
I would like to have something to back up the tourists, which would, you know, oil. What's that going to hurt, you know? There's no problem. The big deal is the environmentalists don't want you touching, I will call it their playground.
But environmentalists say it's everyone's playground. It's public land and should be managed that way.
So it's 36 square miles. The red lines are where they laid fiber optic receiver lines. Mm-hmm. And the blue lines...
Liz Thomas of the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance, or SUWA, has kept a vigilant eye on what's been happening here. The BLM closed this area, some 23,000 acres of public land just outside Canyonlands National Park, because of concerns about damage to soil by Jeeps, ATVs, and bikes. But 6 months later, it was open to 50,000-pound thumper trucks to pound the ground with seismic measuring instruments. Just down a bumpy dirt road less than a few miles from the park, Thomas pulls up to what could be a scenic overlook, the snow-capped LaSalle Mountains in the distance and a 1,000-foot drop to the canyon below.
Yeah, I think this has got to be the most scenic oil well in the world. You pull to the rim and you think, wow, you know, I'm going to learn about the rock structure, the strata, the wildlife, the vegetation, the cryptobiotic soils. Yeah, and you get to the end of the road and you've got a drill pad.
A generator powers a single pump jack that's been at work here since the 60s. Two sludge pits, a few tanks, and the hulks of some rusted-out machinery sit on a pad at the edge of a landscape fit for the cover of a Rand McNally road atlas.
Even though this land in southern Utah, it may spread out for a long ways and it may look like it goes on forever, that's one of the real values of it, is it is a big, unspoiled place. And when you start putting these oil wells, sprinkling them around every mile, every half mile, every quarter mile, you lose that feeling.
The Bush administration staunchly disagrees. It's encouraging drilling here and in more than 50 new sites on public land in the Rocky Mountain West. The Clinton administration opened up significant new areas for development, including the Gulf of Mexico and Alaska's National Petroleum Reserve. But areas considered wilderness and near national parks were kept off limits. That's what's changed. James Connaughton is the chairman of the White House Council on Environmental Quality. He now heads up the newly created Task Force on Energy Project Streamlining.
We need to do it sensibly. We need to do it in a way that preserves the legacy that we leave to our children. And we can do so. That's the great part of where we are now. And so land at risk is a question of, are you applying the right technologies? Are you applying the right management practices? Are you taking the right actions when you leave?
At a recent meeting of Western governors in Salt Lake City, Utah's Governor Mike Leavitt accused environmental groups like SUA of setting up a false choice between national parks and energy development.
The vast majority of the people want to have good stewardship and balance, and they'd like us to look at that individual situation and say, can we do this without harming the land? And if we can, we should, and if we can't, we shouldn't.
But environmentalists say there's no look-before-you-lease policy in place. In fact, it's just the opposite. It took appeals by SUA to stop seismic work this past winter on Dome Plateau, some 23,000 acres within plain sight of Utah's icon, the Delicate Arch, featured on the state's license plate. Interior's own administrative review board found that the BLM, quote, capriciously ignored environmental regulations. Mike Dombeck, BLM chief during the Clinton administration, says the burden of proof used to be on the industry to show why a lease should be granted. Now the agency must prove why a lease shouldn't be granted.
So the manager, instead of erring on the side of the health of the land and the function of the ecosystem, is basically by policy required to err on the side of extraction. And the thing that amazes me is that for the tiny percentage of resources that will be extracted from these areas in the short term, it seems like we'll be paying a higher price environmentally over the long haul.
Industry analysts say Dombeck may be right when it comes to oil, but not when it comes to natural gas, which is what the industry is really looking for in places like Utah. Ed Morse is an advisor at Hess Energy Trading Company.
It is absolutely correct that it is a drop in the bucket in terms of oil supply. It is absolutely not correct that it's a drop in the bucket in terms of gas supplies. And what they're looking at is an amount of natural gas reserves that will probably be able to add 2 or 3% per annum to the U.S. production base over the next 10 years.
On an oil-to-gas equivalent, that's twice the best estimate of what lies under the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. The majority of public land managed by the BLM in the Rocky Mountain West is already open to leasing and drilling, but the pace of new development in previously off-limits areas has increased exponentially, and places like Moab are feeling it. Outfitter Chuck Nichols.
Somebody sitting somewhere in some office can think about, well, Utah, well, it's just a lot of sand and rattlesnakes, and, you know, let's stick an oil well in there. Nobody's around for 100 miles. But when you have 50 and 60 and 80-mile visibility, it doesn't take very many people to see that one oil well that's out there, kind of spoiling the view for everyone else.
But Moab knows all too well that the scars of past development cut both ways. A massive toxic tailings pile from the uranium mine still sits uncapped at the edge of town. But the White Rim and hundreds of miles of trails that attract the bikers were blazed decades ago by the miners and seismic crews. County Commissioner McNeely has no patience with those who say tourism and development can't coexist.
Now, what I say to those people is what if we old-timers had done that to you when you come in? But us old-timers didn't feel that way. We just thought that was progress and come on in, you know, enjoy our area. And I have a hard time with people, especially when they drive out there in their little vehicle so they can lay down in front of the bulldozer and stop the progression of the development.
Spring is the busy season in Moab. SUVs and Winnebagos stream through town on their way to geologic wonders. The American public is loath to have to choose between the vista at a national park and the ability to drive there. But here in Moab and across the West, that choice is becoming more difficult to ignore. Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News, Moab, Utah.